WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. At a hearing Tuesday, a federal judge giving the Trump administration 2 weeks to prove they're working to return Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a wrongly deported Maryland man sent to a notorious El Salvador prison.
The Justice Department pointing to comments in the Oval Office from Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele, a close Trump ally who declared he would not release Abrego Garcia.
Of course, I'm not going to do it.
The judge brushing aside Bukele's words, saying they are not evidence. The White House claims Abrego Garcia, who is from El Salvador, is a gang member.
ABC's Rachel Scott. A leak investigation at the Pentagon leaving two of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's close confidants escorted out of the building. Dan Caldwell, a senior advisor to Hegseth, and Darren Selnick, who had been serving as the Defense Department's deputy chief of staff, both placed on administrative leave. Federal judge overturning a Biden-era policy capping credit card late fees at $8, the judge claiming the rule was illegal. This is ABC News. Regulators have decided that the 2025 commercial salmon fishing season in California will be closed for an unprecedented third year running, and sport fishing will be restricted to only a few days due to dwindling numbers of fish. Gas prices are falling.
Over the past couple of weeks, oil prices have come down sharply over global worries about U.S. tariffs and OPEC ramping up production, so it was inevitable the gas prices would come down with lower oil prices, and now they are. The Energy Department reports in the past week the price of regular unleaded dropped almost 8 cents to $3.17 a gallon, 46 cents less than a year ago at this time. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Kim Kardashian's lawyer says the reality TV star will testify in person at an upcoming French trial over the armed robbery of her 2016 Paris apartment during Fashion Week. 10 suspects facing robbery or kidnapping charges. TV and radio host Wink Martindale has died. He was 91 years old. Dave Packer, ABC News.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers lose to the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A long night for Tyler Alexander. The Brewers' starting pitcher not only gave up 8 runs in just 4 innings, he also got hit twice. On comeback hits from Detroit batters, I asked Alexander how he was doing after the game.
It's a little tight. Yeah, the right calf. We did some work on it and just part of it. The second one wasn't that bad. It sort of hit belt. The first one stung a little bit.
The Brewers losing 9-1. Their third loss in a row, the fourth blowout of the season. Pat Murphy.
This is the fourth time in 17 games, so that is concerning.
College football, Badgers offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes on installing a new offense at Wisconsin during spring practice.
If you're doing it the right way, you start with identity and talking about what your identity is. You know, every person has an identity. We're all individual creations, and we all have different personalities and different physical characteristics, and a group should be the same way.
That's the Badgers' Jeff Grimes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Yesterday in the Hollywood Beats, I reported that White Lotus Season 3 star Amy Lou Wood was hurt by the portrayal of her character during a sketch on Saturday Night Live last weekend. She called the portrayal mean and unfunny. Wood took to Instagram to clarify that she was not upset with Sarah Sherman, the actress who played her in the sketch. She also said Saturday Night Live reached out to her and apologized privately. Katy Perry was in space for 8 minutes aboard a spacecraft sponsored by tech company Blue Origin. The spacecraft crossed the outer space barrier carrier for a few minutes before coming back down to Earth. One of Perry's space mates, Gail King, said Perry sang What a Wonderful World as they floated along. Blue Origin is owned by Jeff Bezos, whose wife, Lauren Sanchez, was also on board the flight. This marks the first time in history six women have gone into space on a mission that achieved almost nothing while wearing bell bottoms. Money well spent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, a diminishing breeze, and look for low temperatures in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees. On Wednesday, sunshine, a few high clouds, a southeast wind in the afternoon, with high temperatures warming to the upper 50s, close to 60. It's 33 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss a new way to vote, along with our friend Trigvi Olsen and Tara Ariano with Best New TV Shows. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kelly Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show today. Our friend and colleague and host of the wonderful Todd Albaugh Show from noon to 2 is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. We have a new Republican throwing his hat in the ring. There seems to be a template for these guys, just a little bit. So we'll talk about that with Todd again after 10:30. In the second hour, after 11 o'clock, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the SAVE Act that was recently passed in the House. Particularly if you are a married woman and your birth certificate does not match your driver's license.
Yes.
And we had a listener who emailed us at Jane Says with a couple of questions because she has a compound name.
Yes.
With no hyphen.
Yes.
So I could be like Jane A. Matinier Clooney.
Yeah.
For example. It's just an example.
And you said that she has several documents that have different names as well. Like it could cause a big problem
for
her.
It could be very confusing. So if you have any questions for Deb Cronmiller about the SAVE Act in particular, please email us now at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Deb Cronmiller going to be here after 11 o'clock. The last half hour of the show, of course, is what we now call Audio Sorbet. Lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour of the show. Today we're going to do a new segment called Resident Young Person Calvin Explains. Are you ready for this, Calvin?
I am.
Excellent.
It's only confusing because of how dumb it is.
Well, but again, I think it's very much a generational thing. I did not understand. There is a new phenomenon happening around a particular movie.
Yeah.
That we're going to be talking about after 11:30, and Calvin is going to explain this because he is our resident young person.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around for that, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Giddy Up edition. Stay tuned for that. A couple of things I wanted to take just a little time before we dive into things. We have changes that are going to be happening a week from tomorrow.
Yes, because it is Tuesday.
Tuesday. So a week from tomorrow, on April 23rd, the lineup is going to be changing here in Civic Media. It's all good.
Yes, it is.
It's all good. For one thing, Earl Ingram, who's on right before us, Earl Ingram is going to be shifting his focus to more local community content on 540 WAUK in Milwaukee. He's also going to be a regular guest on other network shows, and he's going to be working on some very special podcasts.
Yes.
So Earl's not going anywhere.
Correct.
Earl is remaining part of Civic Media, which is fantastic. But again, the lineup is going to be changing a week from tomorrow. So here's how that's going to look. From 5 to 6, we love this, the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke on select stations. The Fabulous Farm Babe. She's incredible. From 6 to 9, it's going to be Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. So Pat going from 6 to 9. We will move up 1 hour. Matt and Air on Air will be from 9 to 11
yeah.
as of a week tomorrow.
Yes.
A week from tomorrow. Then 11 to 2, the Tom Hartman Program. From 2 to 4, the incredible Todd Alba. 4 to 6, Maggie Dawn. And then 6 to 8, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We also have a couple local morning shows that are going to be staying because I got an email about this too yesterday.
Yes.
John and Gordy on WMDX in Madison, and Mano and the mayor on WGBW in Green Bay will stay with their respective stations. So those morning shows are not going anywhere. This is going to be happening again a week from tomorrow. April 23rd, just a little shifting around of the lineup here on Civic Media. If, say, you live in Madison, you're not going to be able to hear us anymore over the radio, you can always catch it as a podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can listen to it. I had to step away for a moment, but if you can listen to us live on the app.
On the stream.
Or you can pick us up as a podcast. Either way, you can always get... Madison, we hardly knew thee, but you can stay in our lives.
Absolutely. Stay with us.
Yeah.
Stay with us. Again, the change is coming a week from tomorrow. Just want to give you a little heads up about that. This kind of jumped out at us as we were putting the show together this morning. And we hear so much, you know, with these deportations and mass deportations, and folks who are supportive of this are essentially, well, why didn't you come here the right way?
We've been hearing that for so long.
I don't have a problem with immigrants, but you need to come here the right way.
Yep.
Which is great.
Yep.
Okay, fine. In order to support that,
yeah.
I think it's important that we have programs that help people who are doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I saw this article in the Cap Times today, Aaron McGrody with the byline, Literacy Network loses federal grant for citizenship program. The Literacy Network, which serves adults in Dane County, is getting cut off from the remainder of a federal grant which helped them run a citizenship test study program. So, come to this country, you apply, you get in, you have to pass a citizenship test.
Yeah.
This program, which is doing that in Madison,
yeah.
helping people come in the right way.
Checking all the boxes.
Doing it all the right way. Now they're cutting off their funding.
Because, of course they are.
This doesn't make sense to me.
No, it does not. And I would love for someone who is both of the mindset of, well, they need to do it the right and legal way. And also, I love mass deportations. Make it make sense to us because... they're living within the rules that you set up, which is really kind of vague when you just say do it the right way or the legal way. But they are. They come here and they – it's not easy to become a citizen in this country, especially if you're not someone who's rich or, you know, highly educated. It takes a long, long time. That means that they are putting up a lot of their money,
yes.
their time, their energy to become a citizen of this country and doing it, as you say
– the right way.
The right way.
The executive director of the Literacy Network, again, in Dane County, Robin Ryan, says, we thought that citizenship was in a better place for funding because the administration seems to be saying they want to support people who follow the process mm-hmm. to become a citizen.
Yeah.
We were surprised when they targeted this grant so early because this program essentially does what they say they want immigrants to do. So we're kind of at cross purposes here.
And Jane, please tell me if this is a weird sort of thinking on it. If they would have canceled, let's say, next year or next cycle's grant, I'm not saying it wasn't right, but they canceled it before the grant was even all the way paid out.
Right.
They canceled it. What did they say? It wasn't midway, but it was a grant that had already been paid to the Literacy Center in almost in its full, but then they stopped it.
A March 27th letter sent to the group from the Department of Homeland Security did not give details.
Of course not.
Yeah, they're real kind of slim on details. Of course not. On the cancellation, beyond stating that the Literacy Network's efforts to help immigrants pass the citizenship test, quote, no longer effectuates the program's goals and the department's priorities, unquote.
There's that word again, effectuate. They've used that line in other letters we've talked about regarding, and it's always about immigration. It's always about the fact that this program, this goal you have, is no longer in the interest of this country.
Or does not align with this administration.
Exactly.
But I thought it did.
No,
I thought they're going through the process like we want them to, ostensibly.
It's like what a lot of people who are in power do and want to oppress other individuals. When you say, well, here's the goalpost, folks. You got to get to this goalpost. And people say, all right, here we go. No, the goalpost is 10 yards now down the field.
Yeah, now we moved it.
Yeah, sorry. And in fact, we're going to just remove the goalpost and we're going to pave over this whole thing with a parking lot. Get out of our country. Goodbye.
The Literacy Network has been operating in Dane County for 50 years, started offering citizenship study classes about 20 years ago with the goal of helping immigrants learn American history and civics because they have to pass a test,
mm-hmm.
which I would wager I wouldn't be able to pass that test.
Yeah,
I don't think a lot of Americans would be able to pass a basic civics test.
I don't believe a lot of elected officials could pass that test.
There's that, too. All the while helping them practice English language skills.
Yes, because if you want to become a citizen of this country, you have to have a basic understanding and ability to speak English.
Yes.
We are going to be working on getting someone from the Literacy Center of Dane County here on the Literacy
Network. To expand this a little bit.
To talk about this, because let's also just put something out really quick. This is a non-political thing, a non-partisan group. This is not some, you know, they're not leading marches through the streets. This is a group of individuals whose goal is helping people learn to read and understand certain things. And this program is making it easier for people to, quote unquote, do it the right way.
Do we want them to do it the right way, or do we really just not want them to do it at all?
I know what the answer is.
This citizenship program, again, according to the executive director of this agency, the citizenship program is specifically to help people who are lawful permanent residents. So green card holders apply for citizenship and then pass the test. With a two-year, $180,000 grant, the group had expanded the program, and they had hoped to soon provide study sessions in other areas of Madison, and now those plans can no longer move forward.
And I want to just say this really quick. The Literacy Network's website is in our show notes today, and they take donations. If you are interested in helping, this is a group doing good work for all people. You can do that, but we will be working on getting someone from the organization here to talk further on this because it is just an example of further just disgusting behavior from a group who hates immigrants.
Well, we say we want them to do it the right way, and then we're attacking agencies that help them do things the right way, so you kind of have to wonder what the actual goal is. When we return, manufacturing, we're going to bring it back.
It's back, baby.
We're back. Who's going to work there? That's one of the questions we will kick around when we return. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 10:30, Todd Alba will be here. We're going to talk about the latest wealthy person apparently wants to be an elected official. Seems to be a through line.
Whose turn is it this time?
Exactly. We'll be talking about that with Todd. And we actually had a question. Dan from Franklin texted in, when will the Todd Alba show be on? So as a week from tomorrow, the lineup is going to be changing. Our show is going to move from 9 to 11. Todd will be from 2 to 4.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's going to be Mornings with Pat Greitlow, powered by Up North News,
yes,
from 6 to 9.
Yes.
Matinair on Air from 9 to 11.
Yes.
Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd from 2 to 4. Maggie from 4 to 6. And then Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8 p.m. Hope that clears it up.
We'll say it again later.
Well, we will, because it changes hard and change, you know, it throws us all a little bit. So no worries, Dan. I hope that helps. And again, if you miss any of the shows, you can always find them on the website at civicmedia.us. Just click on shows, go down to whichever one you want to check out, click on that. There's an archive of at least 100 shows.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something and you miss it because, you know, you have a life and you have children and you have parents and a relationship and all and a job and all those things.
Wow.
Well, but, you know, yeah, folks have busy lives and we understand that you cannot necessarily listen live all the time, so you do have some options. All right, we wanted to spend a little bit of time on this. This is from Wisconsin Public Radio, Joe Schultz with the byline. Trump says tariffs will bring back manufacturing, but Wisconsin's labor shortage might stand in the way. So it's all about bringing manufacturing back, which is great.
It's great.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to James Vanderloo on Friday.
Correct.
It takes a long time, yes, to bring manufacturing back. It's not like these plants just go up in a week, no, or a month or even a year.
No.
This is usually a several year process.
Correct.
But even beyond that, Wisconsin has population issues.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin has been losing population,
yeah,
for the last couple of years. So who, if it happens that we bring back all this manufacturing, who is going to work at these plants? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce reports the latest numbers show there are about 1.2 million more jobs open across the country than there are unemployed workers. 1.2 million more jobs open nationally than there were unemployed workers. Wisconsin has had more openings than job seekers since 2021.
And I'd like to know of those, I mean, we can't go over every single one of those jobs available, but as we've had this discussion when it comes to immigration, there are jobs that Americans just think they're above.
Absolutely.
They're not, I'm not going to do that job. I'm going to do this job. I went to college. I did this. So I have to imagine that a fair amount of those jobs are ones that Americans would scoff at. And you ask the question, who would do it? Well, Alicia on the live stream says we can all work in these new manufacturing jobs. What's a third or the second or third full-time job?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Or you can do what Florida's doing, very innovative thinking in Florida. Just loosen the child labor laws a little bit.
There you go. And let's get 12-year-olds back in our factories.
And we're not talking about, like, you know, when I was in high school, I had a job in an Italian restaurant washing dishes, and I had to quit because they wouldn't stop scheduling me until 11 on school nights. They were violating labor laws.
Labor laws.
Well, in Florida, they want to make it so kids can just work through the night because, you know, they got strong hands, they got strong shoulders to let them do the work. So that's probably what some states are going to want to try to implement.
Bring back kids.
Yeah, bring back kids. They're strong.
I was picking raspberries in the fields when I was 12.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't they? This is going to be an issue. Again, unless a lot of these are automated jobs, which isn't going to do much for the workforce.
Not at all.
Not going to help working people a whole lot. Not going to be bringing back a whole lot of jobs if, again, a lot of these plants are AI fueled.
Well, then you have to have the advanced training of either repairing equipment or managing the equipment itself. So still, you're not going to get a great bump in jobs. And also, you also have to get commitments from companies to come back here, which means you have to give them incentives, tax breaks, tax forgiveness, all sorts of things that are going to affect our economy and our basic bottom line for this nation. So once again, we're looking at words being said by a president who doesn't think 3 inches from his face.
Yeah. Well, they're not long-term
it's
thinkers.
Not, yeah. It's never long-term planning.
No, it doesn't seem to be long-term planning. Over the last decade, employers have said that the U.S. labor market is weak, both in terms of quantity of people and quality of people. There have been some efforts in recent years, like high school apprenticeship programs, which I think are great.
Yep.
That could help the goal of bringing manufacturing back, but everything hinges on the workforce. Mm-hmm. If Donald Trump would achieve his objective, say increasing manufacturing by 40%, that's 5 million workers. That's 5 million bodies we don't have.
No. No, we do not. But it's going to magically happen, Jane.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently
also,
so.
Also, a lot of those apprenticeships, they focus on things like, carpentry and union trade jobs. Apprenticeships don't really get into manufacturing jobs. You usually walk into a manufacturing plant and say, I'm here for a job. They're all right, go press
go
that
on the line.
Go on the line.
Go on the line.
Yeah, I'm all for apprenticeships, but those generally have to do with really good paying jobs that you train for over time and you can actually have a middle class lifestyle.
Well, at one point, I mean, as of last week, Howard Lutnick said that all those jobs putting screws into iPhones were going to be coming back to America until, of course, Trump changed his mind and then exempted all electronics and iPhones and all that stuff from the tariffs because Jobs paid him a whole bunch of money. But anyway, I'm veering off topic. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Todd Alba will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. At a hearing Tuesday, a federal judge giving the Trump administration 2 weeks to prove they're working to return Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a wrongly deported Maryland man sent to a notorious El Salvador prison.
The Justice Department pointing to comments in the Oval Office from Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele, a close Trump ally who declared he would not release Abrego Garcia.
Of course, I'm not going to do it.
The judge brushing aside Bukele's words, saying they are not evidence. The White House claims Abrego Garcia, who is from El Salvador, is a gang member.
ABC's Rachel Scott. A leak investigation at the Pentagon leaving two of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's close confidants escorted out of the building. Dan Caldwell, a senior advisor to Hegseth, and Darren Selnick, who had been serving as the Defense Department's deputy chief of staff, both placed on administrative leave. Federal judge overturning a Biden-era policy capping credit card late fees at $8. The judge claiming the rule was illegal. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers end their losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers shut out the Tigers 5-0, ending a three-game losing streak. Rhys Hoskins smacked a fastball to deep center field for his first home run of the season.
Yeah, breaking the ice, there's maybe something to be said for that. Yeah, it's just nice to get rewarded for some quality at-bats.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, slowly making progress from that blood clot in his right leg. Could he be back for the playoffs? Doc Rivers.
Well, I mean, we're hopeful, like we're just following the protocols, and so we'll see, but we don't know yet.
Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell on the search for a new left tackle after losing Kevin Haywood in spring practice to a torn ACL, out for the year.
Now we got to have to figure out how we're going to manage some of that and move some guys around and expect some other guys to step up, whether it's Leighton Nelson and Emerson Mandel. And guys like that got to step in.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's a film that might amuse you if you're just in the mood to sort of zone out. The Amateur, starring Rami Malek, is what I would describe as halfway decent entertainment on the big screen, but there just isn't a whole lot there. Malek plays a CIA analyst who wants to avenge the death of his wife. He does just that, and there are some interesting scenes involving his revenge, but nothing is ever really explained. It's directed well, and there are some cool scenes and a good pace, but it lacks substance, and frankly, Malek seems miscast in his own film. That's right, he's also a producer. Get ready, folks. The playoffs are right around the corner. Of course, I'm talking about the music competition show, The Voice. Season 27 playoffs start in late April, and the show is adding what they call mega mentors in Sheryl Crow and Leanne Rimes. The two will be on opposing teams led by Michael Bublé and John Legend, respectively. The Voice airs Monday nights at 8 p.m. on NBC. I'd love to be a mega mentor. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, a diminishing breeze, and look for low temperatures in the upper 20s to near 30 degrees. On Wednesday, sunshine, a few high clouds, a southeast wind in the afternoon, with high temperatures warming to the upper 50s, close to 60. Currently 32 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here? The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
This Wednesday on the Earl Ingram Show, the lead-free crew returns to share the latest updates, followed by Dr. Robert Craig in the second hour to review the week's events.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same. Tom, Todd, you got to turn your microphone off. We're getting a little, something is, doing? We need a mute somewhere.
I think
we're good. You can call us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Joining us live from the Civic Media World Headquarters overlooking State Street in downtown Madison, Todd Alba is here. Good morning, my friend. Todd, Father, how are you?
Buenos dias, one and all. It's great to see everybody. Jane, Greg, Kelvin, always a pleasure.
Lovely to have you with us. In the second part of our conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about where we should go on tour.
Oh, really? All right, fantastic.
So last year, Todd and I took our shows on the road, and I would love to know from folks who are listening right now where you think we should stop if we get to do this again.
Go ahead.
Greg and I and the Todd Father on the road sometime this summer. If we can make this happen, where would you like us to stop? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment again on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We'll do a little roundup in the second part of our discussion with Todd Alba. But Todd, we wanted to start off with this. This is from today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck. Republican businessman considering a run for governor forms political committee. Bill Berrien, a Navy SEAL veteran and CEO of Pindell Global Precision and Liberty Precision in New Berlin, announcing yesterday he is starting a PAC in his bid to possibly, you know, run for governor next year. So as Greg and I were talking about this off the air before the show started, it seems like the Republicans in Wisconsin have kind of the same template. Let's find a really wealthy white guy to run.
And it's worked so well for them.
It has. It's been just so extremely successful.
What
of
are they,
late.
0-2 right now? They're 0-2.
But I mean,
I guess you can kind of say Ron Johnson sort of. I mean, he took his wife's money and ran. So
fair.
There's that.
1-for-3.
Yeah. Right. Fair enough. But I am baffled, Todd, by the fact that they don't feel that there is someone within the current Republican structure in Wisconsin who could take on Tony Evers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand these guys anymore. I spent 30 years in the Republican Party, I think, as most of your listeners know, and left in 2011, long before Trumpism came around. So I never heard of this guy. I have no idea who he is. Yes, it does appear that there is a new line of thinking in certain parts of the Wisconsin Republican Party that we need to get these self-funders. And quite frankly, I think that's in deference to and a unintentional salute to Ben Wickler, who has been the longtime chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, because for years while I was in the Republican Party, you know, it was the Democrats who would say, oh my gosh, Republicans always outraise us. It's not fair. How can we compete? And Ben Wickler came in and said, let's just, you know, pull up our bootstraps and dig in. You know, we might not like it. And yes, we'd like to have campaign finance reform, but this is the hand we're dealt. Let's just suck it up and do it. And guess what? Now it's Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux and Scott Walker say, well, how can we compete? I mean, Democrats outraise us so much. I think this is a new line from the Wisconsin Republican Party. Let's find a guy or a gal, I guess, although Diane Hendricks doesn't seem to want to run for anything. She just likes to put her money in there. But let's find a multimillionaire, close to or a billionaire, and run them. I don't think that bodes well for many of, I guess I'll still call them the traditional grassroots, the Republican Party, because they haven't really caught fire. And part of the reason that when I was involved in politics on the Republican side, I think part of the reason, not all, but part of the reason Republicans did well is because Tommy Thompson was a guy from Elroy,
right,
whose dad ran a general store.
Right.
And he helped put himself through school and law school at UW. And he really didn't come from anything. I mean, Elroy is a town of 1,000 people, more or less, in southwest Wisconsin. And people like to root for think of a Bill Proxmire on the Democratic side, a guy who went to every small town and got his hair cut, whether he needed it or not, and went around and shook hands. Wisconsinites, think of the good Lord, we root for the Packers, we root for the Brewers, we root for the Badgers and Marquette, teams that rarely, if ever, win it all, but we love to root for them because that's who we are.
Yeah.
And Republicans don't seem to have anybody like that on the bench anymore. And so they got to turn to these guys.
I mean, that was going to be my point, too, is that, you know, they're not even like, say what you will about Scott Walker. He had a pedigree in Wisconsin. He came up through Wisconsin politics. People knew who he was. People knew who Tony Evers was because of his work in politics and in education. It's this thing of like these nameless dudes who show up with this mentality that always, for me, personally, as a Wisconsinite, it always seems to be this, well, this is mine and I want it. I'm a rich guy, so give it to me. I want to be governor now because I guess I'm bored with business and I can do this better. And the guy in Washington runs it like a business and I can do that. Right. So it's this disingenuous nature of like, well, yeah, he's from Wisconsin, which is great, but you didn't work to get it. You didn't work the line to go...
Well, to work your way up through politics, yeah, exactly. Right? Through party politics.
Well, but I think you're onto something, Greg, that aside from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, I do think there's kind of this ultra rich class or like, I'm bored. I like to be in the richest, you know, they say the U.S. Senate is the smallest, whatever, most exclusive club in the world.
Yeah.
And there's a certain thing to the governor's chair as well. These guys are just bored and want something to do. I do think that I'll still call them the grassroots, what's left of it, of the old Republican Party or the new MAGA. I think those people are going to be on board with Tom Tiffany, the congressman from North Wisconsin. He's definitely running. I think there will be, I heard that Rebecca Clayfish is also still considering another bid. And there's even rumors that Scott Walker is laying the groundwork for a comeback next time. So, I mean, that's real. And so I think that this is, I think this guy who you've never heard of, they don't know how to run politics or run a campaign. They think they can buy it. My guess is he won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that would make, like you mentioned Tom Tiffany, I would think that this would make people like Tom Tiffany feel a little prickly. It's like, what about me? Right.
I,
you know,
I mean, he feels he's waiting on the bench and it's his turn, so to speak. I also think, and there's been a lot of talk about what's happening in the Democratic Party right now, and rightly so. And it's a big deal. Ben Wickler not running again. I think he's done a marvelous job. I think Zepecki would be a great heir to that. I think there are other people that I feel would be less of a great heir to that are out there, names thrown around. But I think what a lot of people are missing, isn't being talked about, is what's going on the Republican side, and the particularly folks in Brown County, Green Bay, the Republican Party chair up there, they want Brian Schimming out. I know you guys have talked about it a little bit on your show. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger deal than what's being made of in the mainstream press in Wisconsin, because it speaks to what you guys are talking about. There is a division within the Republican Party as well that, you know, they're not right enough. That Brian Schimming, the guy who came up through the party with me, who, you know, still kind of believes somewhere in the fundamental tenets of the old Republican Party, but is kind of going along and adapting like a chameleon to operate in the MAGA world. They want him gone. He's not a real believer. So I think if this guy who I've never heard of, what's his name? I'm sorry, I don't
know. Berrien.
Berrien. Mayor Berrien? No, that's another guy. Berrien.
Bill Berrien. Bill Berrien.
Right. If this guy, I mean, if he taps into this discontent with the ultra MAGAs in Wisconsin, well, then, and if Trump comes out here and endorses him and he sucks up to Trump, you know, we've seen that, not to get off subject, with Nayib Bukele from El Salvador. Trump loves people who suck up to him. And so if this guy does that and has the money and taps into discontent with the ultra MAGAs of Wisconsin, hey, anything's possible these days.
Yeah, but has Trump's endorsement worked that well for the people he's endorsed?
Not in the general, but some. I mean, he endorsed Tony Weed in the primary in the 8th congressional district, and Weed was able to beat our wonderful friend Dr. Lyerly. But there is still some credence to it. We'll see. I mean, I think that Trump is really going to come into Western Wisconsin this time because Derek Van Orten is going to need it. I think that there should be a primary on the Democratic side. I'm not sure Rebecca Cook is the right person to go up against him again. But I think that, you know, that's people forget that district that Van Orten is running in was drawn 20 years ago for Ron Kind as a Democrat. to make sure that it protected Ron. There was a deal amongst all the incumbents in Wisconsin. So Mark Pulcahyan got his safe Democratic seat in the second, and Ron Kind got his safe Democratic seat in the third, and all the rest of the Republicans got theirs. That's the way these maps were drawn. So Van Orden going around saying, oh my gosh, if Crawford wins, I'm going to get a Dem district. Guess what? He already has one.
It's already there.
One of the things that you said that with regard to Bill Barron, I think Barry in is, I think he's already diving into it. This is a quote from his release. It says, we are passionate about the growth opportunities for Wisconsin with the manufacturing reindustrialization in the U.S. and President Trump's crackdown on China. The release goes on to say, we believe boys are boys and girls are girls and parents should have a say in their child's education. We believe in restoring conservative values and common sense. I mean, right there, just in 3-4 sentences, he just said, I'm MAGA. Here we go. You can trust me.
He's not listening to his leader. Part of another line that got kind of underreported yesterday in the Oval Office meeting with Salvadoran President Bukele, he says to Bukele in front of the whole press, he asked Bukele, he says, you don't let guys play girls sports, do you? Oh, no, we protect women in El Salvador. And then Trump goes on this, and he says right in front of everybody, the reporters, he's talking to Bukele, but he's doing it for the press. He says, you know, I tell our people, don't talk about that stuff yet. Because, you know, people are going to, you got to wait to the election to talk about it.
Right.
He's saying it out loud for everybody to hear, to Greg's point. Trump doesn't want this guy to be talking about those issues until 6 months or less before the election.
Absolutely. It is the fearmonger point that they have right now. That is their thing. And again, you want to save the good stuff. You want to save the good stuff until you really need it. That should be very telling. The other thing I want to say real quickly about this release from this Bill Barron, we believe parents should have a say in their child's education. They already do. And I find it interesting that you are okay with parents having a say in their child's education, but not in their health care. That's where parents shouldn't get to weigh in. The government gets to decide what kind of health care is right for your child.
I used to belong to a Republican Party that thought government interference was a terrible thing. And now we've got a Republican Party Trumpism that's going into private universities and telling them how to write their class syllabuses. I think that's the right way to say it, or syllabi.
Yep.
I mean, that would have never happened. Think of if Democrats had said, hey, here's how school choice schools are going to do their classes. Oh. There would be outrage in the street. It's hypocrisy at its most.
One of the things you always hear, not so much anymore, but GOP would always refer to California as the mommy state. Well, I think we're becoming a daddy country where daddy has to be in everything and tell us what to do and make sure we're eating our peas and get and not getting our vaccinations, of course.
And daddy's going to spank you if you're not good. That's a whole different show.
Who said that?
That's a whole different program.
Lindsey Graham does not want you in his bedroom. I can assure you that.
Cindy from Appleton, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side when we get back. Also, if Matt and Aaron Air and the Todd Alba Show go on the road this summer, where would you like to see us go? 855-752-4842. You can leave it on the live stream. You can text it in as well. Where should we make our stops if we can make this happen? Jane and Todd and Greg on the road. All right.
I just see a picture of us like in a car together holding hands.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Stay here just the same. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. Oh
dirty work.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about the SAVE Act that was recently passed in the House and what this could mean, especially for married women who may have taken their husband's name but didn't go to court to change it, which most married women don't do.
No.
So therefore, your birth certificate is not going to match your driver's license. What could that mean for you the next time you go to vote? Deb Cronmiller is going to be joining us. We have a couple of questions from listeners. Another one, too, from Lori just came in, so we will address those with Deb coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, though, our friend and colleague Todd Alba is here from the wonderful Todd Alba Show, noon to 2 p.m. until a week from tomorrow.
What?
A week? Did no one tell you this?
Work here. What?
Yes, the lineup is changing next week, Todd.
And we're calling it the Todd Father Show from now on, too.
Yes, we're calling it the Todd Father.
I did not wake up to a horse head on my pillow, but I came in this morning and there was an article from the Detroit Free Press. This is a real headline. Guy Gordon fired by WJRAM after accepting pay cut, refusing to move to afternoons. I thought, I better not say anything.
Just be happy.
Yeah.
Just be happy.
Right. No, nobody put that on my desk, but that was a real headline from the Detroit Free Press today.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Media has always been so delicate. Yes, we have some changes coming a week from tomorrow. Earl Ingram remains a very critical part of Civic Media. He is going to be doing some super focused podcasts and other special reporting, focusing on the city of Milwaukee, which is Earl's passion and his love. So Earl is going to remain part of the network. He's not going to have a daily show. Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will kick off a week from tomorrow from 6 to 9. Our show, Matt Nair on air, moving up an hour from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman coming in then from 11 to 2. And then the Todd Father from 2 to 4 p.m., followed by Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8.
Because, Todd, it just makes sense. A great time slot for a great, great man.
Let me just say this.
Yeah?
In all seriousness. Yeah? If I ever, I never served in the military, but if I did, and if I was ever called upon, I would want Jane Matnier with me in my foxhole because she is the ultimate fantastic soldier.
Oh.
And I'm right, right here, buddy, but okay.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
I know.
I'm just saying that just every, you know, she's a great soldier.
Absolutely.
And you both are, but I mean, yeah. it's absolutely fantastic. And it warms my heart. It's the best part of my day so far.
Well, we did some special bonding when we were on the road last year. We have to admit, yeah, it was the singing together from Richland Center all the way to Eau Claire. I think that really solidified our relationship.
Yeah, Greg, if you're going to go out the road with this, man, you got to brush up on your Broadway tune.
Okay. Yeah. You got to sing.
If you want to watch me do the entirety of Jesus Christ Superstar from start to finish, including the voices, get ready.
Ooh, I like that one. That sounds good. A couple of suggestions, by the way, have come in. We are working on going out on the road like we did last summer and trying to make it happen for Matt Nair on Air and the Oddball Show to go out on the road.
Oddball Show.
That's the Oddball Show. Ted texting in says, come to Appleton. And we had a couple comments on the live stream also said Northeastern Wisconsin. Come to Northeastern Wisconsin. So let us know where you would like us to visit at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the stream.
Oh, look at that. To boldly go. Go on, Todd.
No, I was going to say, Trigby did this to me last year when we were, he was joining me for just the last couple of days, and I was in New Glarus at a winery down there at Bailey's Run, and we weren't sure where and so he told the audience, goes, here's three choices. Where should Todd do the show tomorrow? And they voted, and they sent me to figure out how to get on a Wisconsin duck. I had less than 24 hours to do it, and thanks God to the Army Ducks of Wisconsin Dells,
you
we
made
pulled it off.
You made it happen. You made it happen.
So we do the same thing here. The audience of the Jane Matt Nair show, tell us where we should go. And believe me, a lot of people have told me where I should go.
I can vouch for that, especially for me. Yes.
Tyler, Wisconsin Rapids says to boldly go where no civic media host has gone before. Ely, Minnesota.
Ely.
All right.
That would be a blast.
That would be a blast. Ely is literally on the edge of nowhere.
On the Boundary Waters.
Yeah.
And Charles Kuralt, the great CBS legend, owned it. He owned that for a while because they did a CBS Sunday morning show on it. He fell in love with it, and he bought that station to save it and ran it up until his death in 1997.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Cindy from Appleton is back on the line. You've been so patient, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Sorry, I had to take another call. Anyway, I would like, as long as you're both on, you and Todd, for you to talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Conservation Congress spring hearings, which are happening right now. The actual in-person was last night. The online survey is available until 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. The more people that do this, the better. Of course, this year they have made it much more difficult to find the survey. Big surprise, they don't want us to be involved. But the Wisconsin Conservation Congress is a group that is taxpayer-funded, has no transparency, wants as few people involved in this as possible. So I say the more the merrier. This is democracy. This is taxpayer-funded.
Boy, Cindy, you sound like you're in a wind tunnel, but I appreciate that, and thanks for giving us the heads up. If you want to send me a link to that, that would be great, at 855-752-4842. 4842. Join Todd this afternoon after the noon news from noon until 2 p.m. It's a fantastic show. You don't want to miss it. Todd Alba, thank you so very much, my friend. We will see you soon.
You guys are the best. Always appreciate you. Have a great day.
News coming up next, so keep it right here. Matt Nair on air coming to you on the vast, statewide, countrywide. If you have the app, you can pick us up in Vienna, baby.
Whoa.
Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
At 3:30, we're talking with Wisconsin Representative Karen DeSanto about the future of public education funding in Wisconsin. She knows a bit about this and how to serve kids as the former CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of West Central Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Maryland, a federal judge demanding answers from the White House about the Salvadoran man the U.S. sent to be imprisoned in his home country, despite a 2019 order preventing his deportation to El Salvador. The Trump administration claiming Kilmar Abrego-Garcia was a member of MS-13.
Frustrated by a lack of answers from the Trump administration, Judge Paula Sinise has now ordered the depositions of four senior officials at ICE, Homeland Security, and the State Department. She says she's seen nothing to indicate that the government has been facilitating Abrego-Garcia's release under an order the Supreme Court unanimously upheld.
ABC Stephen Portnoy, one of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's top advisors, Darren Caldwell, and another, Pentagon Deputy Chief of Staff Darren Selnick, placed on administrative leave after a leak investigation. He was a game show favorite.
It's Kit Kat, no,